Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today we are going to explore one of William's bread-and-butter words, a word that has turned up in only three of his plays, but I think it's safe to say that the theme it carries with it is pretty much omnipresent in most of his works in one way or another. One could say, in fact, that among William's pantheon of prose, his historic volumes of verse, intersprinkles of interestingly idiosyncratic iambs, this is a word that truly has no rival. Uncle Will may have only used the word rival in three of his plays, but it is a theme that he came to over 25 times. The tragic rivalries of the familial ilk between Romeo and Tybalt, the jealous rivalry between Iago and Othello, the witty battle of the sexes that turns rivalry into reluctant romance between Benedick and Beatrice, and the less romantic battle of wills between Catherine and Petruchio. Though these are more rivalries, a competition for the same object or for superiority in some field, than rivals, persons, competing for that objective. Uncle Will would take us on a visit to Greece for his first use of rival in his 1595 Midsummer Night's Dream, where we come across William's version of asymmetrical Athenian amore, to mix my moussaka with my marinara, where Hermia loves Lysander, who loves her right back, and Helena loves Demetrius, but he just so happens to love Hermia, which sets us up nicely for a bit of courting competition. After some magical meddling and supernatural midsummer manipulation of hearts and hormones, all is resolved, and toward the end of the play, the reconciled foursome is come upon by the Duke, Theseus, who remarks on their new and warm relationship, saying, "I know you two are rival enemies. How comes this gentle concord in the world?" During the 1605-6 season, Uncle Will would find himself back in Stratford, due to the plague closing down the theaters, where he would pen his tale of kingship gone crackers, daughters weaponizing flattery, and the profound realization that retirement plans should not include dividing a kingdom based on compliments. Yes, his King Lear. At the start, before it all falls apart, Lear remarks on the marriage prospects of his daughter, saying, "The two great princes, France and Burgundy, great rivals in our youngest daughter's love." A few years previously, Will would take us once again to the Mediterranean for his next example in his Merchant of Venice, where Bassanio, a Venetian nobleman, tells his friend Antonio about the woman he is rather smitten with, Portia. The only problem being that there are several suitors for her hand, and they are all much wealthier than he. And therefore, to, quote, hold a rival place with them, he goes about convincing Antonio to be his guarantor, as he borrows 3,000 ducats from the moneylender Shylock, which we all know works out completely fine and goes rather swimmingly, which will lead us nicely into its etymology. The origin of rival is a fascinating one. It comes, as one would expect, from Latin, rivus or rivus, meaning stream, used in the context of two boatmen trying to use the same waterway. Though William only used the term three times, the list of rivals is extensive, culminating in pretty much the entirety of England between the houses of York and Lancaster in the Wars of the Roses. So it would seem that rivals and rivalries flow rather freely from William's quill, ebbing and flowing and running rather deep in his imagination. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.